A reading from Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is the evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. A reading from Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when they first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And then when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "Those last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have another fabulous scripture before us this morning. Now, as you heard Brenda read it, who did you identify with? It's not a rhetorical question. The landowner? The landowner. Interesting choice, yeah? Okay, I'll make it easier. Who identified with the workers who started at 8 in the morning? Who identified with the workers who arrived sometime in the middle of the day? A few people. Who identified with the workers who arrived at 5? A couple? Okay. Who identified with the landowner? A couple. Who identified with the vineyard itself? Nice, alternative choice. Nice. Parables give us a lot to look at. Parables give us a richness. And sometimes we have to, as adults, pull ourselves beyond the church school narratives that we were taught when it comes to parables. We need to use them as an opportunity to identify who we identified with initially, but then what it might look like from the other point of view. Consider the meaning of the parable. Consider the depth and the breadth of what God is putting before us in a parable. That's the power of parable, and Jesus is extremely skilled at using parables to show us God's economy of abundance, God's unending and abundant supply for each and every one of us. Now, I don't know about you, but this parable raises some interesting concerns. Because let me tell you, it's all very well and good in the Bible, right? It's all very well and good as a Sunday story. It's all very well and good until we realize what the power of parable is and we apply it to our lives. Then it's not so easy. Who's been a member of the church their whole lives? Chip, put your hand up. Right? Who's been a member of this church their whole lives? Chip, put your hand up. And Nancy and Kathy. We've got a few generational members behind us. Good, good. We had some waves. Good. Who joined in our last covenanting session in April of this year? Brenda? Yeah? Good. We've got a couple of people here this morning who did. Who's just been coming since April and hasn't even had an opportunity to join the church yet? Got some people? Yeah? There's some people in the room. Well, here's the push. Did you know that the church, this church, and all of its resources, all of its history, belongs as much to you, Brenda, as much to you, the last joining class, and to you, as it does to Pat, as it does to Chip, to Nancy, to Chris, who have been here for generations? Now, I know you can hear that here, right? But do you realize how that affects the way we've always done it? Because you all, we've been here since 1833. We know how to do church, thank you very much. No, I mean, we really do. We do church well here, no? We really do. We do church well. This church is a well-oiled machine. I want to tell you, we have some really, really strong leaders. You know it. You know it. We have some fantastic people in this church who volunteer time, treasure, and talent. Don't you know it? I know that Karen Bruno stood up here this morning not knowing that when the call goes out, when you hear that our church school needs you, you're going to sign up. I know it. We have some fantastic people in this church who have kept this church going for generations. For generations. You all have been here in the scorching heat since 8 a.m. when the vineyard started. And those who arrived at 5 o'clock, guess what? You get equal pay. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. I remember when I was about 6, I must have been about 6 years old, and I had my first friend come for a sleepover. Janae. We're Facebook friends now. She came for the first sleepover. And do you know, I wish my mother had kept it, I made a little booklet. I cut out the pieces of paper and I made a little booklet with all the rules for staying at my house. Oh boy, why do I tell you these stories? I made a little rule book of all the rules you needed to know for being at my house. Because do you know, for the first, whatever it was, 6 and something years of my life, I had been in that house. I had been observing those same rules. So if she was going to come stay, she had to observe those rules too. Don't you know it? And so when she arrived for her sleepover, I sat her down and we went through the rule book. How unwelcoming. How unwelcoming. How unwelcoming. And how often do we want to do that? That childish instinct, I've been caring for this thing, I know how it works. And it truly is the innocent child in us. And as children of God, we so often bring that principle to bear. And it's just innocent. But this morning, we have before us a scripture that is calling us in that word from Philippians, to stand side by side, to strive side by side with one another for the faith of the gospel. To strive side by side with one another, whether we arrived at 8 a.m. or whether we arrived at 2 or 3 or just before the bell went at 5. Because friends, in God's economy, there is abundance for everyone. There is a place for each and every one of us, because surely whether we arrived at 8 a.m. or 3 or whatever time or 5, there is a role for each and every one of us to play as we strive side by side. That is the gift of God's abundance. That is the gift to each and every one of us in community. It is a truly powerful principle to practice, whether you practice it here at church or whether you practice it in your job or in your social circles or in the other organizations you're involved in your life, is to practice the generosity of spirit that God offers, because truly each one of us is in some way the worker who arrived at 8, the worker who arrived at 2, or maybe in some circumstances the worker who arrived at 5, and each one of us in some circumstances is the laborer or the landowner. And each one of us truly is also the vineyard that welcomes the work, that welcomes the laborer who comes, who God sends to work in our lives, whenever that may be, early or just before the bell. And God's principles of generosity, of welcome, the radical, radical welcome that God is asking us to extend, is life-changing and life-giving. So as we go out into this week, may we embrace this radical generosity, this radical welcome in all we receive and in all we do. Amen.